Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody, and praise the living God, from whom all blessings flow. One of the things we come back again tonight, we say, God, we thank you for everything you have done for us, to us, and showed us a better way. How to walk in your statutes, how to walk in your commandments, how to walk in your grace. But we live in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. For what you have done, Father, we want to say thank you. We want to thank you for everything you have done, how you have made it possible to us. But I want to just say, Lord, I love you. I praise you so much for everything you have done for all of us. And tonight's the night that I just want to say I thank you, I praise you, I adore you, and I magnify your name in the name of Jesus. Today's been a day, Father, that all of us have called upon your name continuously. But we ask you tonight in the name of Jesus, any sins that have not been asked for forgiveness, we come in the name of Jesus Christ, that his blood washes us and purges us, make us perfect, put us back on the path. So we just continue to say, yada, yada, yada. We praise you, we love you, we adore you. Mobile Father, we magnify your name because it's you, Father. We're not looking to the left or to the right. We're looking directly at you. For all things are possible, you said in your word, those who believe. And we believe, Father. We just ask you, Father, that anointing fall upon all our bodies, that we just go, Father. And I want to thank you, Father. I personally want to say thank you for what you have done for my house today, for my wife, for my son, my daughter, my son-in-law, my daughter-in-law, my grandson. I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you for my relatives on the McCoy side. I want to say thank you for my sisters and brothers on the Hunter side. I want to say thank you for my cousins and aunties on the Washington side, Father. Your word is so powerful. I pray, Father, to some in the family will come to know there is no God like you. Oh, we just want to thank you and praise you. Father, I want to get past the catechol. I want to just be able to come to you in the name of Jesus and to praise you and to love you. And to worship you. We just said thank you. You tell us in your word, from the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun, you're still God. You'll be God. There is no other God like you. Tonight we just said thank you. We just lift our hands and we praise you. We love you. We thank you for this radio station that you've given us and let your word go. And I ask you tonight, Father, bless the ones who come on the radio station, those who have a desire to come on, those who can believe, those who have heard, those who want to do better. I want to say thank you, Father. We just decide to go back out into the fullness of it all. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, our prayer. Amen. So tonight, I just want to continue talking to the congregation out there in the world and hope and pray that somebody listening, because there's much to be done. First thing I want to do, I want to say to all the apostles, hello. I want to say to all the prophets, hello. I want to say to all the pastors, hello. I want to say to all the teachers, hello. I want to say to all the evangelists, hello. I want to say to the body of Christ in the fivefold ministry, hello, because we love each other. Moreover, we have a great work to be doing right now. We're living in that time where the word has become so concise and precise. What God is saying to us through Jesus Christ, here's what I say to you. Now, we look at the book. Let's go to the book and look at what God is saying to us. I want to take my time right quick and point out a few things to the believer. Now, I want to speak to the believer and the non-believer, because this is all about them, not us. It's about them. Those of us who believe can believe that all things are possible. Now, I want to point something out to you. The more we get into the Word of God and the more we study the Word of God, the more we're in love with the Word of God. So if you have the time, go with me to the book of Romans 8:2. I want to just go down right quick. The 8th chapter, verse 2. Hallelujah. All right. Romans 8:2. And here's what the Apostle Paul writes. Here's what he writes. He says, but we are sure that the judges of God is according to among them which commit such things. What he's saying, some people are not free yet. Some people don't come to understand. He's saying it's ungodly. And I know people say, don't talk about these people. Don't want to come to church. Well, how are we going to reach you if we don't tell you what the word says? I want to let you know this much. I'm at peace. I once was a sinner. I sinned so hard and so. But God, in the name of Jesus, cleansed me up. And I'm so grateful. See, here's what has happened. When you have committed that sin, you've fallen as it was in the beginning with Adam. And that's why one man died in sin. One man was raised that he may set us free from sin. That man is Jesus Christ. It's in the Bible. And I will say this to those of us who are listening, who have a think the simple thing. See, the word of God is so simple until you can't put your thick mathematical, grammatized, scientificized, modernized, right speaking person to know that the Holy Spirit moves. When the Holy Spirit moves in the body of Christ, it moves profoundly. It moves successfully because God is the ark and the creator. See, what God has done, beloved, I have to say to us, hear what Paul was talking about. He went to the church at Rome in his last day in his life. He said, I'm at Rome. Remember the scripture he said in the book of Acts? He said, I must go to Rome. See, everything was chronologized by God for him. God called this man to a great ministry. Some of us will never be able to because there will never be Apostle Paul. And I want to thank God for that because it's shown me how to take the word and digest it, how to rest on it, how to believe in it, how to see it manifest itself. One thing I've come to understand more than anything else, the more we can take God at his word, he says these words. He said, the heavens were created and spoken by me, the light coming forth. He said, I create the waters and I extend the boundaries. See, that's the kind of God we serve. This kind of God we serve. Now, I want you to do something else for me. I want you to go to Psalm 115 and verses 12. I'm going to take us over there right quick. In the Old Testament. Why am I doing that? I'm trying to show you how God put things back in context. Because he wants us to know. See, the more we take the word of God and we put it on our lips, our heart, the more God will speak to us. The more we can just say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And the more we say, yes, Lord, the more we thank God for everything he has done. Let me show you something. God wants everything that's happened to me. I've had to just give it to the Lord. I said, Father, I need you. I'm in trouble. I'm in holy trouble. I need you, Father. I need you because I don't know how to do what you did, but I need you to. Do you not think he's listening to me? He's listening to you also. And we turn and take a note of what God is saying to all of us. He said, I love you. He loves us so much to what God has done for us. He has brought us out of darkness. We were in darkness, but he brought us out. And here's what he says in Psalm 115. Here's what he says in verse 12. Now, go with me to verse 12. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless all the house of Aaron. He will bless those that fear the Lord. So both small and great, the Lord shall increase you and your and more. You are his children. We are his children. So I want to do that to let you know what God has done for you and I. He's let it be known in his word. He started out teaching. See, the Old Testament is a place where he can teach us. He wants to teach us more than anything else. It teaches us to know what we can do. And we take the Old Testament, it's been rectified and qualified by the New Testament. but what Jesus did when he came on earth for him. So here we're standing right now in a place called where we are right now. I'm in my house, sitting there talking on this radio station. But do you not know I believe God beyond a shadow of a doubt? I believe God. Because I couldn't speak myself into existence. I know God spoke me into existence. He spoke me into existence. So here am I. So I want you to know something. The more we trust God, the more God will trust us. See, we have to build a mutual trust between his word and himself. See, God knows our heart, but he wants us to say, okay, can you confess it? Yeah, Lord. Lord, I want to see what your word says. I know I'm going to be wealthy. I know I'm going to be healthy. I know you've promised me with a lot of land. I knew you've promised me with a whole lot of my seed for many generations. You promised me in your word in Genesis chapter 6, 3. You promised 120 years. Father, I intend somehow, some way, by your WRD, to live it. To live it. Now, are you going to try to live with somebody out there? Here's what I want you to come to understand. Stop finding fault with your own self. Amen. Boy, that's a powerful word to me. See, stop finding fault with yourself. Once you come to know Jesus Christ, he said, oh, when we come before, and remember the book of Job, when God was talking to Job, and he said, you consider. Now, see, God wants to brag on us. See, he wants to, oh, glory to God. Oh, praise you, Father. He wants to, oh, praise you, Father. He said, have you heard? Have you heard this man called Job? He said, have you considered? Have you thought about it? Do you want to test him? And the Lord says, yeah, you can. God gave him permission. He said, listen here, fallen Lucifer. You can do everything to him, but touch his soul. My God Almighty, what a word that God put in. He told Lucifer, the devil, you can do everything you want to do this man. He said, everything but touch his soul. He did everything he could. He caused his family to get killed. He caused everything. And I just go through the lineage of it. And all of a sudden, God says, he said, yeah, he said, skin for skin. See, the devil wants to kill us. He don't be caring about us. So what we got to do, we got to get busy collectively, individually, and stay in concert with God's word. And the more you meditate on God's word, the more you pray God's word back to him, he said, give me back my word. My word should never turn back to me void. So when you pray, pray the word. Pray the word back to God. What I mean by that, God's going to give you some scriptures you can put in your mouth. And see, the Holy Ghost will direct us, and he will show us what God wants us to do. Now, are you willing to do it? I want to take you some other place. See, when you read in Psalm 1:3, I want to go to Psalm 1:3 right quick while I'm in the Psalm, in the book of Psalms. Thank you, Father. Psalm 1. Ah, yeah. Psalm 1:3. And the more we can take the word of God and get it down into our spirit, the more we're going to be able to fight the darkness. See, what else? Like Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. Why? That you might have a more abundant. He said, I've brought in the light. When the light shines, and Isaiah 61 says, the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. See, the devil don't understand what God is doing through the beloved, through Jesus Christ. What Jesus did, Satan will never, Lucifer will never understand, because he's a created being. But he's going to challenge our Father. You know, we ain't got to jump on the Father to stand back. I got this one. Oh, glory, hallelujah. That was good for my spirit. But Psalm 1, here we go. And 3. And he shall be like a tree Now listen, you beloved. God said you're going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. Not out of season. You're not going to be messing up sometime on this, the day is winter, and I don't know what we're going to do. No, God said no in your season. See, we all have some season, but take notice of what else God says. His leaf shall not wither away, and whatsoever he doeth, whatsoever we doeth in righteousness, it shall be prosperous. We are prosperous believers. Don't worry about what you're hearing, but you got to understand, God is in control. Yes, he's in control in the name of Jesus. Now let's go back to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. I want to show you something. Hebrews. Like you said, but anyway, I ain't gonna do that. You know. Hebrews chapter 1. Now here God is still speaking. See, God spoke all through the B-I-B-L-E, the word of God. He's still God. He's God through Jesus Christ. Here's what he said. He said, God said at sundry times and divers manners, spoke in time past unto the fathers, unto the prophets. Now, who did he speak to? He spoke to the fathers, like Abraham, Isaac, and all of them, and the prophets, Isaiah, and he says, hath in this last day spoken unto us. Now here's a writer. We don't know who the writer is. We know it was a writer saying, here he's speaking to us by his son, who has appointed heirs of all things, by whom also he made the world. Wow, what a movement. See, God is moving on us. He's moving us directly. He's moving on us forward in us. See, when he lives inside of us, the more he lives inside of us, the more the light shines, the more God lives inside of us. See, a lot of folks say, well, I don't know what it is. I want more of it, more. Why? Because it gives me a better understanding how to see those things. When Paul wrote the word and began to pinpoint some things, he said to him in Colossians in chapter 1, he says, I think in verse 6, 7, somewhere on down the line, he says, when they ask him a question, he said, wait a minute, hold it, let me stop it. The words I give to you, I never did it for man, nor was I been taught it by man, but it's by revelation. Wow. God said, God revealed it. And time passed, he didn't bring it, but on the age that Jesus Christ was in. Now, why didn't he give it to Moses? Why didn't he give it to Noah? He said, in time passed, he spoke to us by the Father. But this time, he speaks more excellent. It's through his Son, Jesus Christ, he released this knowledge to us, this understanding, this wisdom to us. Why? Because he said, you are my beloved, and I love you. Ain't nothing you can do about it. And you know what? I will say this to everyone that's listening to me tonight. Hear what the Bible tells us. I like to just, what God said. See, Jesus Christ makes better than the angel. And so the angels looked on and said, who is this that you created? Now, he's just a little bit lower than a man. Who is this? They wasn't upset. They were just, the angel was sparked. They were so. What did he do? It said he's done a new thing. Oh my God. He began to bring who shot into the Peter, Our Lady of Baha. He began to bring his son, Messiah, on the scene for the angels. The angels in heaven began to say, Messiah, my God Almighty. See, oh Jesus, I love it, Father. Thank you. When you take notice of the everlasting word, and you take it down into your spirit, let it sink deep. Don't worry about what nobody say about you, what they talk about you. Remember what God's word says. God said, no weapon that is formed against you, you shall prosper. That ain't going to come against you and attack you. You're going to rock the ship but the ship ain't no turtle. They're going to throw the house, but it's not going to fall. They're going to do this and that, but God says a weapon that'll fall will not prosper. So don't get the devil too much credit. Don't give it. See, I always say the devil has zero credit unless I give him a one. I ain't giving him number a zero because he is not in my life. But I know he's always pestering. He's doing everything he can. He's calling all this, but that's all right. I know I said, God, I can't handle this. You know what God does? And God takes over. That's all God wants to do. He wants to take over. He wants to take over our lives. Why? Because the more we give it to him, the more he cannot allow us to brag about, I got this amount of money. I got this car. I got this. No, we give God the glory. I tell everybody, I'm always just bragging. I'm not bragging. I'm believing. I'm trusting. I'm trusting in God. Whatever God says, will you live by it? Can you live by it? But Lord, I want to just challenge you tonight. Can you believe it? He was the firstborn of the begotten. He was the first one born from the dead. The first one. Ain't nobody that's been born from the dead. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all them. Moses, Noah, and all of his sons. They were not the first one. Jesus Christ, the first one. So don't you know, God put some preeminence in his son. And we who know what we say, we have to live according. See, the important thing that God is doing in us and through us, he's saying as long as you submit, you can commit. See, I got a word I would say, submit and commit, and you won't be slave. Submit and commit, you won't be slave. What you mean? Submit yourself to the Word of God and to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and you will not be slaves. Because when you keep going out to the dark world, the world has a trap. The devil is the biggest lie you ever want to see. He lies to politicians, he lies to some of the supposed to be pastors, some supposed to be apostles, some supposed to be teachers. So he has some, the Bible tells us in the book, but beware of those Antichrist. Beware of those spirits. Those fallen angels are always there. When you read the book of Jude, chapter 1, you're going to see what Jude talks about this succinctly. But I want to encourage you, as much as I have hoped, I tried to. If I didn't, forgive me and pray for me that I get better. Because I know what God wants to do in all of us. Well, the first thing we have to do is submit. When you submit to him, Jesus Christ, the first thing he did when he came into this world after he was 12 years old, he submitted to the Father. He submitted to him at the age of 12 was bar mitzvah. He was out doing his Father's will. And two words it was said in the Bible. And they said, where is my son? He said, did you not know I was about my Father's will? Why are you looking for me? And well, first of all, why are you looking for me? Don't you know, I'm about doing my Father's will. He set an example for us. Stop looking for me. I'm going to do the Father's will. So if you want to do the Father's will, you don't have to fall in line. All you got to do is invite him into your heart. You invite Jesus Christ into your heart, God the Father's going to come also. God told the Spirit is going to come also. Let me tell you, what a time you're going to have. Oh, yes. What a time you're going to have. Now, and the Bible says, Jesus told us something. We have to pray and fast for certain things. But because all this power, Jesus told his disciples, he said, and you know what? Sometimes you have to do what Jesus did. Jesus fasted for 40 days, God Almighty, came out of the wilderness, and the devil tried him three times, but God spoke, it is written. It is written. So every time God speaks his word, he lets the devil know it is written. So it is written on the printed pages, it is written in my heart, it is written in my spirit. Amen. Hey. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin all the believers for a convenient time, Some of you I will never see. Some of you will never see me. But I want you to know, I want to join you in the spirit. Why? Because we're coming to that place right now. We're going to have to be where it's supposed to be. So somebody listening that don't know Jesus Christ, I want to let you know, if you can accept him right now to your heart and submit and commit and come to say, Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm asking you to forgive me my sins. I'm asking you to forgive me all the sins I've committed. Whatever I have to do, Father, in the name of Jesus, submit and commit to your word, I want to do it. So I believe that somebody out there listened to me and heard me, and I want to say, welcome aboard. You're now in a great body. You're in a body that don't burn. You're in a body that don't go canker. You're in a body that's full of the Holy Ghost. And all you got to do, just remember, find your church that will teach you the word. Find your church that has loving God's word for the people. Find your church that humbles itself. Find a church. Be in the body of Christ. As it says in the book of Hebrews, all in the book it says his body is he's the head of the church. So I'm in the body of Christ. I don't know what, and God help me, he might help me this time working as a leg. Sometimes it's having with his arm. Sometimes it's having with his toe. I don't know, but I'm in the body of Christ. So what they want done in the body, I want to be now. Remember, beloved, we got about 2 minutes left. And I want to let you know these words. From the rising of the sun, ye shall come. Hallelujah. As it says in the book of Psalms, chapter 1. When you go to chapter 1 and say, God did something. But the more you read that word, the more you consecrate yourself. When you separate yourself from a bunch of foolishness, get out of darkness, coming to the light. What God is saying, God said, I want you to be active in your neighborhood. I want you to love your neighbor. I want you to pray for them. Because some of your neighbors don't know me. You got to teach them. You got to show them love and respect. Some of them don't understand. But we got to teach them. We ain't got to know things. I know I understand a lot of things, but I'm still trusting God and believing God. So one of the things I come to say to you tonight, one thing is this. The more we trust God, the more he brings us to a point. Remember what I said to you. And I say in Hebrews chapter 1, I want you to see what I'm saying. Hebrews, hear what he says. In Hebrews chapter 1:10, and thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid foundation of the earth and the heavens, and hast worked all hands of thine own hand. See, we're living in a time right now where we take God at his word. See, God is such an awesome God. Hey, by you, die. And he's that kind of a God that will bless us in the midst of what's going on in our lives. And beloved, remember my words I said to you. Until the next time, I want to tell you how much I love you. Ain't nothing you can do about it. But remember these words. See, when you're looking for him, he's always there. And I want to leave this word with you. Go and read Hebrews chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 2, 6 and 7. You're going to find some precious, delicious fruits of God. And see, the more the fruits of the word get into you, the more you are. And remember, I love you. My time is up. God bless you. Amen. Hello out there. You listen to us.
Hello, Apostle.
Hello. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Apostle?
I'm blessed. Well, I tell you, it's your time to go now. God is good.
God is good.
Yes.
Yes, he is.
So it's your time. Take over. You got it.
All right. Well, I'd like to say hello to all those who are listening. I'm Apostle Dr. John Newsom. I'm the pastor of Word of Faith Christian Center Church International at 984 Reverend B.J. Lewis Drive here in Houston, Texas. Come by and worship with us on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 p.m. I'd love to see your face in the place. Well, if you have your Bibles, please turn your Bibles with me to Zechariah chapter 4.
Amen. Zechariah.
Zechariah 4.
Amen.
God is good.
All the time.
Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. The scripture says, "Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, not by your natural ability, not by your power, not by your strength, nor by power, not by your power," talking about human power, human strength, mm-hmm. human might. He said, "Not by that, but by my spirit, by the power of God." The spirit and God are one. The Holy Spirit, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Father, they are one. He's saying it's going to be by his spirit, which is power, saith the Lord of hosts. So the message
Amen.
God has given me for you today is how to access the power of God. How to access the power of God. We just don't automatically walk in the power of God. We don't automatically just operate in the power of God. It's something that we have to tap into. We have to tap into it. On the day of Pentecost, they were all gathered in one place on one accord. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit came like a mighty rushing wind. They were endued with power. They
wow.
accessed the power of God. They tapped into the power of God. Paul and Silas, they were prisoners. And at midnight, they began to pray and sing and worship God. And there was an earthquake that took place, and it shook the prison doors open. They tapped into the power of God, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts, by the power of the Almighty God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Yud Hey Vav Hey, Yahweh, by his power. That word power in the Hebrew is oz.
Oz.
Instead of ooze, it's oz. That's the Hebrew word for power. The phonetic spelling is O-Z-E. The Hebrew spelling is the I-N, and then the vowel marking that makes the O sound, and then the Zion. Oz is the Hebrew word, and it means strength, it means force, it means might. So what God was saying here, he says, not by your own power, not by your own might, not by your own force, but by my spirit, by my power, saith the Lord of hosts. If we're going to be successful in the ministry, we need his power. If we're going to be successful in our businesses, we need his power. If we're going to be successful in our families, we need his power. We need his power, his might. We need his strength. Look at Psalm 62. Turn to Psalm 62. Psalm 62, verse 11. The scripture says, God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Oh, glory to God. Real power, it belongs to God. If we're going to get any real power, it belongs to God. So we're going to have to access our power from who? From God. Because the scripture says right here in Psalm 62, verse 11, the scripture says that power belongeth unto God. Power belongs to God. I'm talking about ultimate power. I'm talking about supreme power and might and force. I'm talking about power that's all over any other power. The scripture says that God has given us, children of God, power over all the power of the devil. See, the devil has power, but God's power is the ultimate power. It's the supreme power. You know they call, what do they call America? They call America a superpower. But I beg to differ. God is the superpower. God is the ultimate power. Oh, glory to God. And so we're going to look at how to access this power of God. Number one, that word access, it means the ability, right, or permission to approach. It means to enter, speak with, or use. It means admittance. So we want admittance into the power of God. We want to tap into the power of God. And so we're going to find out tonight how to access the power of God, because that's the power we want. You know, you got some people, they sell their souls to the devil. They sell their souls to the devil. The devil says, I'll make you rich. I'll make you a rock star if you just bow down and worship me, if you sign your life over to me. And the devil does do this, and he does have power. But, you know, why not go for the supreme power? Why not go for the ultimate power that will take you to heaven and not take you to hell? The power of Satan will take you to hell. You sign your life over to Satan, he'll take you to hell. But you sign your life over to God, he'll take you to heaven. Oh, glory to God. How to access, you don't want the power of the devil anyhow. He coming nothing but to steal, kill, and destroy. He'll give you some power if you sign your life and surrender your life over to him, and then he'll kill you, he'll steal, and he'll destroy from you. He'll drag you to hell. To access the power of God. People are doing all types of underhanded things and underhanded things to get riches and wealth and fame and fortune, selling themselves to the devil, not knowing that that's going to take them right to hell. We need the power of God. We need the power of God that will help set people free. We need the power of God that will deliver people. We need the power of God to operate in the realm of God. Hallelujah. How to access the power of God. This power comes to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. That's what Yeshua said. He said, I've come, me and my power, I've come that you may have, I got power that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Oh, hallelujah. Didn't the scripture say, Apostle, that he giveth us the power to get wealth?
Yes, yes.
Hallelujah. God's power will get you wealth. Hallelujah. Amen. It's him who giveth us the power to get wealth. Hallelujah. So how to access the power of God. Number one, we've got to admit that we're weak. We've got to admit that, hey, I need God. I need him. I can't do it without him. I can't make it without him. I have nothing without him. So we're going to have to do like the Apostle Paul did. The Apostle Paul admitted that he was weak. He was weak, and he needed God. He needed God's help. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He admitted that he was weak. He admitted that he needed help. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And look at verse 9 and verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Paul said, I'd rather glory in my weaknesses. Right there, he's telling God that he's what? He's weak. He's admitting that he's weak. That word infirmities means weaknesses. Paul said, I'd rather glory in my what? Weaknesses. Why? So that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul says, I admit that I'm weak, but I realize I'd rather do that. Because when I do that, I realize that the power of God, hallelujah, rests upon me, helps me out, gives me a helping hand, gives me power to do what he wants me to do. Therefore, I take pleasure, Paul said, in my infirmities, in my weaknesses. There he's admitting again that he's weak without God, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am I strong. He said, the power of God rests on me because I admit I'm weak. I admit I can't do it without God. And so God, seeing me in my humility, I'm admitting that I'm weak. What does God do for me? He puts his power upon me. We've got to admit that we're weak without God. This right here, well, when we do this, we tap into, we access the power of God. Number two, how to access the power of God. Number one, admit we're weak without God. And number two, we got to align ourselves with the will of God. You see, God is not obligated to give us power to do something that he's not told us to do. He's not obligated to show up in our lives in power and help us do something that he hasn't called us to do. When we align ourselves to the will of God, line up our will with God's will, then he gives us the power that we need. We got to align ourselves with God's will, for our lives. We got to line up, get on track and stay on track. Say, I'm going to do the will of God. I'm going to do what God has called me to do. I'm going to do what God tells me to do. And when you do that, God will release his power. He'll help you. Look what he says in John chapter 15. Let me show you in the word. John chapter 15 and verse 5. Look what Jesus says. He's telling you to stay on track. He's telling you to be in his will. And look what will happen. In John chapter 15, verse 5, he says, I am the vine. You are the branches. He said, he that abideth in me, aligns himself with me, continues in me, get in my will, and I in him. He says, the same bringeth forth much fruit. You're going to have to bring forth much fruit when you align yourselves to the will of God. He's going to release power in your life, and you're going to bring forth fruit. Because he says, without him, he says, you can do nothing. Jesus says, for without me, you can do nothing. So what is Jesus telling us to do? Align ourselves with God's will. Align ourselves with God's will. Do what he, and then he'll release his power upon our lives. The power of God will come upon your life when you're doing the will of God for your life. And number three, ask God for power. Ask him. We need the power of God. We want to access the power of God. Number one, ask him. Ask him for power. He'll give it to you. Look at James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Ask God for power. We're talking about tonight how to access the power of God. Number one, admit that we're weak without God. Number two, align ourselves with God's will. And number three, ask God for power when you need it. When you need God's power, and we do need his power, ask him for power. Look at James chapter 4 and verse 2. The scripture says, you lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. God says we have not because we what? We ask not. So if we want the power of God, all we got to do is ask. Look at Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. How to access the power of God. Peter. I know you know Apostle Peter. At one time, he didn't have the power of God. Wasn't getting anywhere in ministry. But boy, when he got filled with the Holy Spirit, and he began to preach the word of God, thousands were added to the body of Christ because he had gotten power. We need the power of God. It's not by might nor by our power, but by the Spirit of the living God. Look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. Jesus says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. He says, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? No, God wouldn't do that. A dad that loves his children wouldn't do that. Look at verse 11. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? The power of God is a good thing, and God is a good Father. And if we want it, all we got to do is ask him for it. We're talking about how to access the power of God. Admit that you're weak without God. Align yourselves with the will of God. Ask God for power, and he'll give it to you. And my fourth and final point, we need to act in obedience to God. By acting in obedience to God, you will access the power of God. Even when you don't feel like, even if you don't feel like the power of God, you still need to act in obedience. Even
Amen.
If you don't feel like it, you still need to act in obedience,
yeah.
And God will release his power. You know,
yeah.
You know, you and I sometimes, and you know, as people, we want God to give us the power first. But in the scripture, we see that God wants us to act first. He wants us to act
yeah.
in obedience to him first. Then he'll give us the power. But we
mm-hmm.
sometimes we want to see the power of God what? First. But
right.
God says, no, my ways are much higher than your ways. I want you to act in obedience to what I tell you to do first. And then I'll release the power. Hallelujah. Now let me show you that in the Word of God. Turn to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. We're talking about how to access the power of God. My final point is we need to act in obedience to God, even if we don't feel like it. We need to act in obedience to God, even if it don't even look like just act in obedience to God. Look at Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, and let's read verses 11 through 14. 11 through 14. And it came to pass, as Jesus went into Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers. They had leprosy. You know, leprosy is when your skin is rotting off and fingers and toes begin to fall off. Your body is rotting. And these 10 lepers, these 10 men had leprosy. And they stood afar off. They couldn't be a part of the community. They had to be away from the people. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They were asking Jesus to heal us. Heal us, Jesus. Heal us. 10 men had leprosy. This was a disease that was their body was rotting and falling apart. And they saw Jesus and said, Jesus, heal us. Have mercy on us and heal our bodies. Look at verse 14. And when Jesus saw them, he said unto them, he said, go show yourselves unto the priest.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they still have leprosy. Nothing's happened. They still have leprosy in their body. But look what happened. And it came to pass as they went. They obeyed Jesus. They did what Jesus said. And as they went, they were cleansed. They were healed. The power came upon them when they acted in obedience to Jesus. They weren't healed immediately. They were healed as they what? Acted in obedience to Jesus. As they went, they were healed. You know, God might want to start a ministry with you, and you don't see the money, you don't see the power, but as you go, God will give you power along the way. As you act in obedience to Jesus, he'll release the power. You will access the power of God. So we need to get to going. We need to get to acting in obedience. We need to stop looking for the power, you know, what once God tells us to do something, to see the power. No, we'll see the power as we act in obedience to God.
Yep.
He'll release the power. He'll release the building. He'll release the money. He'll open doors. He'll do the things. Oh, glory to God. There was a brother in the Bible. He was sick, and he got a word from the man of God saying, go dip in the Jordan River. Go dip. Well, when he acted and he went and dipped, then he accessed the power. When he went and dipped, Yes. When he went and dipped in the muddy Jordan River, then the power came upon him and healed his body. You see, yes, the power will come upon us as we what? Act in obedience to God. And that's what God wanted me to share tonight. How to access the power of God. And admit that you're weak without God. Align yourselves with the will of God. Ask God for the power that you need. And act in obedience to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Woo-wee. My God, Almighty. Now you talking about cutting the two-edged sword. That was cutting. That was cutting on time. You know, one thing I would say, oh, God, you're just so good. I love you. I praise you.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Father, I just thank you. He's so good to us. He's so good to us. He showed us so much mercy. So much mercy through his son, Jesus Christ. And so the more we take what you said, my beloved brother, and take it in the fullness of heart, you got to first submit to the will of God. You got to first come to understand. And we do that, we watch God. Hallelujah. We watch God do some things in us and through us. One of the things I've come to find out, the more we submit to God, my brother, I'm speaking from what I know. Right now on the radio station, I was following, I went to Facebook. A lady out there, the young lady, someone went on heaven out there at Kingsville where I was. And so I go back when I was there in the month of November, December, how God in his own providence allowed me, hallelujah, somebody, God allowed me to continue to act upon the WRD and to take it in manner, let that manifested word come out full force. Not trying to make somebody belittle, but look what, and I like when the apostle was teaching how to man, he told me, he said, well, you won't get here to go dip in the Jordan. I ain't going to do that. But he went out there. He eventually found out. And see, sometimes when God speaks to us, sometimes even in the ministry, sometimes we get a little stubborn, don't we? Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Because
amen.
The flesh, we have to fight that flesh every day we live. Paul said, he said, I found out there are two things fighting my body. Help me, Lord Jesus. There's two things fighting my man, my flesh and the word of God. And who's going to win? The word of God's going to win.
Yes, sir.
Judah. Amen. Woo, God. I believe we got a brother. I'm still being a Holy Ghost drunk. I'm just leaning on the side over here. So, Pastor, you there?
Yes, I am.
Well, go on and put the word on us. Tell us what God is doing you for the 2017.
Praise God. He is moving. He's moving. Praise God. You know, there's a lot of things, a lot of changes. First of all, I'd like to say I'm glad to see that you're back on the air and that you're well and things are going good for you right now. Praise God. We had you up and lifted you up in prayer and kept you in prayer while you were sick. And praise God that you're back.
Amen. I thank y'all because I did likewise. May I share something with you?
Sure.
May I share something with you? Before you get into your program, see, sometimes you have to come back and ask God, why am I here? And I asked the Lord, I said, why am I here? He said, because you have not asked me for full forgiveness. I said, I thought I did. He said, no, I asked him. So I went and checked my repertoire, everything. And God told me, I said, will you forgive me, Father? And guess what happened? People started coming into my room. And I was praying for the doctors, the lawyers,
hallelujah,
the nurses. Praying
amen,
for them.
Amen, amen.
And so I saw God has a purpose for everything he does. Now, I'm not going to tell you the names, but I say this much. I thank God for allowing me to. And so they got me in rehab right now. I go up there every day, right up, not too far from me. And everybody I know, and they said, I asked the lady, I said, what do you think about me? She said, we know you're an apostle. You're too bold. A lot of people are bold like you. I said, they're not. So we got to get BLD. God bless you, brother. Take over your lesson.
Amen, amen. You know, I'm glad you spoke that, because, you know, that's kind of going right into my message. You know, I mean, like I said, God has been good. I mean, it opened up this year. I got a couple of different things. We're getting ready to, hopefully we'll be able to build that orphanage and place down in El Salvador. Actually, what I need to have you do is keep Pastor Teresa up in your prayers, because I just left the hospital a couple hours ago. Her mom's been in and out of the hospital since Thanksgiving. And so this put everything on the back burner as far as going down to El Salvador and start the mission place down there. But just lift Teresa, Pastor Teresa, up in your prayers.
Right,
she used to be on the...
Right. Let's stop right now. Don't lead us in prayer. This national radio station.
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything that you're doing for Pastor Teresa, Lord, and for her mother, Lord, for that healing that she needs. But, Father, I ask right now that you would comfort them, all the whole family, Lord, and keep them in your arms, Lord, that your healing be upon her mother, the fullness, Lord, so that she can be healed and completely healed. In Jesus' name, but I ask right now, Father, that you be with the family. You be with Pastor Teresa, Lord, as she's dealing with this with her mom and her dad, Lord, that you keep her comforted, keep her in your arms. She is a minister to you, Lord. She is a minister to the Most High God, and I ask for favor right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Go ahead,
amen,
brother.
Amen. So anyhow, you know, there's a couple other things that's going on for my ministry. If I can just indulge a little bit here for a minute, I'm going to start a travel agency, and I was introduced to this to buy a franchise for it, and I go, man, I don't have the money. And the person sits there and says, well, you know what? Because I was doing the ministry and everything else, and she's a church planner. She says, we're going to buy your franchise for you.
Oh, my God. Look at God.
I said, God's moving, you know, so I need the income anyhow to continue to work in the ministry, because, you know, as yourselves, we need to be funded. And we, you know, I don't take a salary for anything I do in the ministry. All the money that comes in, it goes right back out. 100% of it goes right back out into the field where I work in and everything else. So I don't take a salary. And I'm getting too old to lift drywall and hammer nails, and this is going to help me out quite a bit. And I'm blessed. I'm being blessed. And I got a couple other things that are coming up. In all respect, I got working on another radio show at another station. And I'll still be on this station, praise God, because I'm going to be loyal to you, Doctor. I'm going to be loyal to you for you giving me a start here in doing this stuff. And so there's no way I'm going to walk away. I'm going to stay with it, with you. And as long as you keep the radio show going, praise God, and God willing, I'll be here with it. So, but like I said, God's opening more doors for me and other opportunities, and I'm just being blessed, you know, and it's because I've been seeking the Lord. And let me go right into my message, if I can, right now, and I'm going to start in Psalms 31, I think it's 7 through 9. Hold on, let me... Let me get this real quick.
Praise the living God.
Amen. Okay,
amen.
Here we go. Psalms 31, 7 through 9, and it says, I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my troubles, and thou hast known my soul and adversities. But the one I want you particular to pay attention to is, and has not shut me up into the hands of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eyes is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. You know, right after we went off the air there back in November, I believe it was, somewhere around there.
Yes, sir. Uh-huh.
And, you know, my phone quit ringing because I was at the same point, you know. I mean, I haven't really had any work to speak of or anything. And it's like you, you know, it's a, well, I haven't forgave for this or that. But in that particular passage, God was showing me when he sat there and he says he didn't put my, he kept me from the enemies, but he put me in a big room.
Mm-hmm.
You saw in that big room that there was the only people were in that room was me and the Lord. And there's a spiritual room.
Yeah.
And I know that there's other people who've been in this spiritual room, and those who are coming out of it, and those who are just walking into it. And as I was at Pastor Jerry Martin's church the other night, I sat there and I said the same thing. I said, God's going to put you in this room. And I said, some of you come out. But it says, don't worry about it. It says, God is with you. But if you read that scripture and you look at it, and when you get into it and you sit there and you see, God is going to sit there and begin to show you your adversaries, and that's you. And you start to bellyache and say, why, Lord, how come I haven't got this? How come this hasn't come? How come that? Blah, blah, blah. How this? Why hasn't this happened, Lord? How's now? Why is this? And then you start to repent because the Holy Spirit will start to bring a little conviction into your heart, and you begin to see, you get to understand, and you say, oh, forgive me, Lord, forgive me. And then you go on again, you start asking God all these questions again about this and about that and other things and so on and so forth. And then God will bring that little bit of conviction to your heart again. You'll start to repent. And you know, you might be in that room for a week, a month, 2 months, until he shows you your adversary. And your adversary is you. It's all your wants. It's all those things that you put before God, above God. It's all those things that you were hoping for and praying for and asking for, but they became bigger than life. They became bigger than God. God says you can have them, but it's in his timing. So we sit there in our own, he puts us in that room. He says on our bellies, you know, in our souls, our because that's where we're at. We're in that place where, of that wanting this and wanting that. And this, and so on, so, and we're not paying attention to what God has for us. And he'll keep you in that room until you come to the idea and come to the conclusion as to who you are and what you are. We're children of God. We didn't seek God. God sought after us.
Mm-hmm.
I know he pulled me out of the fire. I know he's pulled many, many people out of the fire. And I know he is sit there and he's walked with us and he's talked with us, and then yet we start to get ahead of him. We start to do things. We start to go before him, and we start pulling this and we pulling on that and grabbing for this and grabbing for that. And God sits there and saying, well, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, but we're not hearing. All we're hearing is what we want. So God has put us in this room. He put me in that room. He kept me in that room for over 40-some days. I'm serious. My phone did not ring once for anything. Nothing. My phone was cut. It's almost as if he cut me off, because I sit there and it was almost in the atmosphere and everything was just silent. There was nothing. And I'm going, okay, Lord, this is something to do with me and you. And so when I begin to recognize, I begin to see that, and I begin to speak to God, and I've been waiting and listening for him and these other things. Like I said, all of a sudden I come out of this room and these other doors are open up for the ministry. And God was talking to me, and he was telling me, you know, I'm going back into going to the studio. I'm going to start to write a couple more songs and produce songs, because God, he said, I'm putting this into you. So anyhow, You know, I've played music off and on for the last 40-some 50 years, but that's here and there. But like I'm saying, when I sit there and begin to really put myself in that position where allowing God to begin to speak to me. And when I, like I said, he put me in that atmosphere. He had put me in that room. He'd taken all my enemies away from me.
Wow.
And like I said, those enemies are not, you know, being attacked for this or that. Those enemies are within yourself. Those enemies are the ones that are sitting there saying, well, why didn't this work? How come my wife is doing it? How come my husband's doing it? How come this is going like, and why my kid's doing it? How is this? And da, 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 and you're going on and on and on and on. It doesn't matter. It's in the workplace. Well, Lord, and then it's in about the promises of God saying, well, how come this didn't come? How come that didn't come? How come this and this and this and this and this? And God starts to speak to you.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's in silence. Because even in his silence, you begin to repent. Because he begins to show you yourself. He begins to work on your spirit. And he doesn't even have to say a word. But it is in that room that we can get the reconciliation with the Lord. And when we come out stronger, we come out better, we come up with a better focus, we come up with a better idea, and we come up with a better avenue in the direction that God wants us to go. Because a lot of times we get walking down the road and we can't see the end of the road, so we take a fork to the left or to the right, only to find ourselves lost somewhere. Instead of staying on that road that God has put us on, that path that put us on, because we keep looking for what we want. Keep looking for what we want. You know, a lot of times, you know, when we plant the seeds and you walk and the farmer plants the seeds and he walks and he plants the seed and he walks, he plants the seed and he walks, he plants the seed and he walks. Now they use cultivators and they use all the other stuff, but he doesn't look behind him. He doesn't look. All he does is look forward, look straight ahead to see the row where he's planting the seed. And a lot of times in our spiritual walk, we get off that path. We start to walk to the left or to the right. We start looking over to see if, well, is this growing over here yet? We look over to the other side, well, is it growing over here yet? Is there any rain over here? Well, okay, that rained yesterday, so there should be something coming up over here. And we get seeking after things that truly aren't ours. Because the one that's following behind us are the ones who are reaping what we sow, because what we get into the next field, we start to receive the harvest that somebody sowed ahead of us. And the stuff that we planted and the harvest that we gain are the things of our hearts, of our desires, are everything that we hope for, everything we wish for, everything we ask God for. See, as we continue to plant and we keep on walking forward, we don't look for the harvest that we have. We look for the harvest that somebody has prepared for us. Even God sits there and says, I'll give you the land and the house that you didn't have to build, has the wells that you didn't have to dig, the vineyards that you didn't have to plant. Those things are the harvest. Those things is because of what you planted behind you, and you kept walking forward and not looking behind you to see where it was at, because you know your promise is ahead of you. It's not to the left and it's not to the right. It's forward. It's straightforward, and continue to walk forward. You keep looking in that direction, and we keep our eye on that. We keep our eye on what God has promised us. You know, like I said, I came out of that big room because God held my enemies at bay. But he began to show me my enemies and who they were and what they were. He began to show me and tell me these things that are in your life that are causing your harvest not to come, because you keep looking. You keep looking for things that it's not time yet. You keep looking for the things, that, and then you get discouraged, and you set it down, and you walk away. You continue to look, and you allow this to come into your path. You allow that to come in. You allow this to come in. You allow this other thing to come into your life, and it disrupts the walk that you have with the Lord, because He has a better plan, and He has a better life for you. He created you. He designed you. He has put in you your prosperity. But when we start looking at what our neighbors has and saying, how come this one's got that and I don't have it? Well, how come that one's got that over there and I've been asking and praying, how come I don't have it? How come this one over here got a raise and I'm still sitting there trying to scrape up 2 pennies? You know, our harvest that is coming, that is due to us, if we wait for it, it's going to multiply. It'd be greater than even our own expectations. But when we start reaching out and start grabbing onto somebody else's harvest, somebody else's prosperity, and somebody else's anointing, you know, as even David, when he went to fight Goliath, Saul put his armor on him. He sat there and he says, I can't wear this. It doesn't fit. It's not mine. Because Saul was putting his armor on David. David had his own armor. His own armor was that in the faith of the Lord, that his own anointing that was upon him. And he walked in that anointing, and he slayed his adversary with one stone, the rock of Christ. He slayed his adversary. So in that room, if you look at that scripture, you're slaying the very things that's holding you back from what God has promised you. What you need to do right now is you need to let go of all those things that's been kept you apart from the Lord, that's become bigger than God, that's become bigger than your realities and bigger in faith. God said He'll give it to you. You know, somebody was sitting there and said the other day, he says, you know, if you're in a dry spell and you're sitting there and you're hoping, you're waiting for God's promise on your life and it hasn't come yet, says, don't worry about it. He says, because God is working behind the scenes to make it happen for you. It's when we sit there and try to take it out of His hands, and we take His promise out of His hands, we destroy the things of what He has for us. If we walk in the flow of the Spirit, we walk after the Spirit of God, all those things that He has promised us will manifest itself before us. And we can walk into that. And we can enjoy it. And we can live our lives in it. And it's in the spiritual. What God has promised us in the spiritual realm will manifest itself in the natural. But when we're in the natural and we try to take it out of the spiritual realm, out of His hands, we're getting ahead of Him. We're getting ahead of the game. We're getting ahead of everything else. God said He will make it happen. All we have to do is be patient. And all we have to do is walk in His blessings. Not the blessings we decide we deserve, but His blessings for our lives. We just begin to sit there and just chill and have faith in the Lord and allow Him to work through us and allow Him to bring forth, to manifest into our lives His promise. There the glory of God will shine greater and brighter upon each and every one of us in our lives, our family, our finances, our spiritual walk with the Lord, everything. Because we'll be walking as one in Christ in the glory of God and not trying to take it and run with our own candles and trying to take things that probably that's not even belonging to us. But we think, well, that should be mine. well, that should be mine because I asked for it. That should be mine. Yes, we're to fight. We're for, to fight the spirits that are coming to attack us and to take this away from us. But a lot of times those same spirits are those spirits within us. There's greed, that's lust, that's envy, that's pride, and all these other spirits. You know, we put those at bay. We're supposed to sit there and stand upon them. We're supposed to sit there and cast them down and cast them out. So there's only one spirit that we'd be hearing and we'd be talking to, and that is the Holy Spirit of God. That would be with us and is for us and has a plan for us. There's nothing that God will not do for any of us. There's not a thing he would do if we sit there and start to be grateful and start thanking him with the anticipating that he is going to do these things. But like I said, it's in his timing and it's in his glory. It's not in ours. We can't glorify ourselves, but it's that the God who will glorify himself through us. So if you're going into one of these rooms and you sit there and you start to see the adversaries, you start to see all these things, excuse me, you start to see these things that start to manifest. I mean, this is a spiritual warfare. This is a spiritual fight. God says these things, this is a spiritual warfare that we have to sit there and realize and understand. You know, it's not a natural thing. But we are born in the natural, but God tells us that we have to look at the supernatural Christ. You know, the spirits are supernatural. If it make any difference, they're demonic or they're the Lord. They're supernatural. And what we speak manifests it. It brings that into focus. If we sit there and begin to speak of lust, and we begin to, that'll manifest itself. And we say, oh, well, this is glory. Hey, this is great. This is it. But in our own spirit, we realize, say, no, this is not right. And we need to check and balance. But see, when God puts you in that room, and there's nobody in that room, but you and him. And when the Holy Spirit begins to manifest himself, I want you to sit there and think about those three verses in Psalms 31. Because that's you. The adversary that he's speaking to is you. That's the enemy that is within you, that's you allowed into your lives, that you allowed to sit there and take control over you and over the promises of God that become bigger than God. We need to sit there, and God will put us in check, but we need to be able to listen. We need to be able to hear the word of God, and we need to be able to sit there and see what God really is trying to do for us. When we become sensitive to the Holy Spirit, that's what I'm trying to figure, the word I was trying to get. When we become sensitive to the Holy Spirit and we begin to recognize the difference between that of the Holy Spirit and that which is of the flesh, then our reward in Christ is far greater than anything that we can have here on earth. The promises of God are real. The promises of God are true. But most importantly is their salvation through Christ Jesus. That is the greatest gift and the greatest promise. He knows that we need food. He knows we need finances. He knows we need shelter. He knows we need all these things. But he says, you know, as your soul prospers, so shall you. That's through wisdom and understanding. That's through being grateful for what God has put into your life, what he has given you, and what he's showing you. And that's not complaining to God because you don't have it. That's not complaining to God because of this or that or because this is happening or your enemy's coming. That's being grateful and thanking God. And getting into that realm of gratefulness and being thankful. That word God appreciates and understands, because anything less than that is of your adversaries. It's of the devil. It's of everything else about the natural order of this world. And it's not of God. It is a point of contact that through your praise, through your worship, through your ability to sit there, and no matter how dark it may seem, that you're grateful unto the Lord.
Amen.
Because through that
Amen.
Gratefulness that you through that gratefulness that you have given unto the Lord, it puts a positive. It gives that orientation of bringing that exactly in alignment with what you desire and God desires for your life. And you can't have it any other way. So just I'm saying, if you're going into this room, if you've been in that room, and you should, and some of those will understand what I'm talking about, but I'm telling you, you know, at some point, God is going to check you. And yeah, he understands, and we're going to be bellyaching. We're going to say, well, what about this? How come this? How come that? But then he'll begin to, even in his silence, you'll begin to repent. But be grateful that he done this. You know, when I went into that room and the phone quit ringing and everything else, you know, I didn't worry. I didn't say, oh, my God, how am I going to make money to make this payment? How am I going to sit there? How am I going to take care of it? How am I going to, oh, Lord, how am I going to do all this stuff? I didn't have to, because I knew that I was going into the presence of the Lord. And he had everything in hand. He had taken care of everything prior, because he is watching out for you and he's watching out for me. And he already had made arrangements and made plans for everything. He has made arrangements and plans for your life, for today, for tomorrow, next week, next year. But we have to sit there, like I said, come into alignment and come into agreement, and that's through praise and worship. That's being talking to the Lord and allow him to work through us, for us, and that we can be in one in Christ. So we can come to an understanding. The Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, and all glory is unto him. And I give him all the praise and honor and glory. I give him the praise for the radio program tonight. I give him the praise and the honor for what he's doing in my life. I give him the praise and glory for even sitting there chastising me and whipping me. And I know he could have done a whole lot worse. But I am grateful that I have such a God and I have such a Father in heaven who loves me enough that he took the time to show me the ugliness of my life, to show me my adversaries that are against me, that has kept me from the promises of God. Praise God that now I have an idea and understanding. I'm not taking anything out of his hands. I'm going to allow the river to flow through my life, through everything I have, and give him all the power and all the glory. And I do that in the name of Jesus. And I hope and I pray that this message will come to light in someone else's life right now that would be able to understand and see the glory of God that he's pouring out right now. Because if we are in the last days, he is pouring out his spirit upon all flesh. You know, sometimes when he pours out his spirit, sometimes it's not all glad tidings. Sometimes it's a rude awakening. Sometimes it's a correction. Sometimes it's something that far worse that we even thought would possibly be. But just know, for the reason and what he's pouring out, you know, I'm sorry, but there's so many people out there with a false prophecy and saying everything is going to be good. It can't be good if you're not in check. And he's going to bring that correction in your life. Be open to it. Be ready for it, and praise God when he pulls you through it, because when the doors open, the kingdom of heaven, best know
Amen.
That was his love for you. It was his love for you that he did these things. And I thank you, Lord. And I give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's my word for tonight.
All right, then. Well, I want to let you know, I want to thank God for you because we got about a few minutes left on the radio station, but we just spent 90 good minutes together. And may the Lord bless and keep all up till we meet again. Amen.
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 God bless you.
God bless.
God bless.
God bless.